Praise the Lord. Now see, you have to learn to quiet your spirit, man. You can't be jumping and shouting all the time, because your spirit man needs a little bit of rest. And he just needs to be fed. Amen. We never know what God is going to do. We just never do. God knows each one of your hearts. He knows exactly what we each have need of. And that is how he orchestrates his plans for the day. So what we need to do is just give ourselves over to God. Let him do what he needs to do in each one of our lives to bring us to the place of solitude in him where the world cannot take us out. If you don't get to that place, you're going to be messed up. Amen. And I don't know about you, but the more and more I read about what's going on in the church nowadays, I can understand why God's angry. Because the body of Christ is not doing the will of the Father. Father God, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the awesomeness of your presence. I thank you for the angelic host who are going to and fro throughout these chairs, ministering to your people. I thank you, Father God, that Satan has no right and no place in this sanctuary. And whatever his device and scheme is this day is destroyed right now. In the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. And Father God, anoint your people's ears to hear this morning. Anoint them, Father God, that they can grow in you. And they can start bearing even better fruit than what they have been bearing. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk about, can Christians dabble in darkness without fear? We need to understand the blood of Jesus doesn't grant us immunity. It grants us authority. All right? The blood of Jesus doesn't grant us immunity. It grants us authority. The rise of the unbiblical false grace message has had predictable results. You know, there's certain people out there teaching about grace, they're really teaching sloppy grace. And it's caused the body of Christ to really go amiss. And we need to understand that God's grace is not a sloppy grace. And we need to quit taking it for granted and using it as a means to sin. Christians are increasingly dabbling in darkness in the name of freedom. Those in that camp wrongly presume their casual response to sin has no consequences and that God's love will cover every iniquity. There are dangers when the saints engage in cultural wickedness. Some Christians react in disagreement when you make that statement. Many vehemently resisted the idea that Christians should have any measure of concern about participating in Halloween due to our position in Christ. If you participate in Halloween, then you have a problem. You invited demons into your very being. Halloween is strictly a demonic holiday. It's the just like Christmas is to us. And on Halloween, Satan sacrifices more children than any other time of the year. And you know, I can't believe that people will allow or take their children out trick-or-treating. That just is not godly in any way you look at it. And a lot of people, I forget where I was at the other day. Oh, at the dentist with little Isaiah. And the dentist said, did you go trick-or-treating? I said, no, we don't participate in that. She said, oh, I don't blame you. She says, it costs too much money for the candy. I said, no, it's more than the candy. I said, it's just a devil's holiday. And she just looked at me real funny. And these other kids are sitting and telling how they dressed up and everything else and painted their faces white and went out there and act like a little demon themselves, you know, dressed as a demon. Right then and there, your children have got spirits in them. And so now you got another problem. Now you have a child that has more demons in them. So now you're going to have to get rid of those. And a lot of Christians are really upset because you tell them they can't go out Halloween. And just study up on what Halloween's all about. All right, I said a position they believe cannot be compromised no matter how we behave. And that's going out Halloweening and doing other things like that. However, this emerging false principle reaches far beyond whether we should go trick-or-treating or not. Our entire lives are at risk the moment we dismiss caution regarding the unholy. Our entire lives are at risk the moment we dismiss caution regarding the unholy. Romans 12:1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. See that? I don't care how many people Halloween, you aren't supposed to. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, parents, the Bible says, train your children up in the ways they shall go, and they'll never depart from it. Now, that means they might go astray, but eventually they'll come back to God. But in the meantime, you're supposed to tell them Halloween's not of God. You're supposed to tell them all the different things that are not of God. You're supposed to teach them that. You don't give them, well, it's your choice. Do you want to do it or don't you want to do it? No, you're supposed to train them up in the ways they should go. Then when they reach 18, if they decide they want to go out there and act up, they can act up. Because then it's their choice, not you. But you're supposed to train them. And how can you train them if you yourself aren't informed? Come on. You have to be informed. The unbiblical permissive principle that laughs at concern over evil in our culture or gives license to careless playing with darkness. As a result, the aggressive defense against calls to separation and consecration very often comes in the form of an accusation. In other words, when I tell you you shouldn't dabble in something, then you think I'm accusing you of doing something you shouldn't be doing. But I have to train you, teach you, and what you do with the training and the teaching is totally completely up to you. All right? You know, some I don't know why I'm on this Halloween kick, but it's because Halloween's over. But some churches, you know, like we used to do this when we first started, and I won't say we didn't, just so the kids wouldn't feel left out. We would have apple bob and stuff in the house, you know, and give them a little bag of candy. But then we did that one year, and we said, why are we even doing that? We're still recognizing that this is a holiday, and it's Satan's holiday, so why should we ever recognize it? So we stopped, and guess what? Our kids did not die. In fact, they don't even ask about Halloween anymore. You know, they quit asking about it. So, you know, parents, it's up to us how to train them. I don't care what it is you tell people they shouldn't do because it's ungodly or it'll get them in trouble. If people really want to do it, they're going to be offended because you stuck your nose in their business. But see, if you don't know, then you'll keep right on doing it. I don't care what it is. It could be drugs. It could be, you know, alcohol. It could be anything, prostitution, anything. Unless somebody teaches you about it, you don't know, and you're going to continue to do it. These young kids, you know, we don't have a teacher right now for the young kids, and so that's why they're sitting downstairs. But I've noticed some of the young kids are growing because they're not up there carrying on and doing their thing. They're down here listening. Even though they act like they're not listening, the Word of God is truly going into their spirit, man, and it is making a change in their lives. Now, see, when I was growing up, we didn't have nursery. You were the nursery. If you had children, you brought them to church. You were the nursery. You know, you took care of your kids right there in your pew. But nowadays, parents want to get rid of their kids, and they give them to the nursery and let the nursery take care of them while they're in church. Amen? Where am I at? I know. Is that where am I at? I know with every fiber of my being that it is a severe offense to the cross when we reject calls of consecration in the name of freedom. This liberal position of casual unrighteousness is gaining wide acceptance in the body of Christ. Instead of exposing the darkness, the evil in the land is resulting in a collective yawn. In other words, the church is not changing. The church is not being transformed. The church is just saying, oh, that's just another thing, the little doctrine or little pet peeve they have going on there. We are not changing. The Word of God says that we cannot go to heaven if we're not holy. Isn't that what it tells us? So we have to be holy. All right? And, you know, it's not that we'd like to constantly bombard you with that, but we are at the end times. And I'm hearing God say you're at the place where you have a big decision to make in your life, whether or not you're going to go all the way with God or just sit back and do nothing for God. So this morning I want you to know that your decision should be that you're going to go all the way with God 100%, because Satan has absolutely nothing to offer you. I've watched this going on now for about 20 years, how Satan just takes people and totally and completely destroys them. Then he walks away from them laughing at them because they're done. But now, see, Jesus, we sung all these songs about how God loves us and everything this morning. Jesus does not do that. He's with you all. Even when you go to hell, he weeps over you. He's constantly at the Father's side interceding for you. And that's what the word tells me, right? And every time I read that, I'm thinking, how many times would God want to strike us dead? But Jesus says, Father, give him one more chance. He's constantly. And how many of you, when you're praying for a loved one, you know that God should just take them and just wipe them off the face of the earth. But you say, God, please, one more chance. Was it Abraham that said, Father, if I can find 10 righteous people? And he kept going to find out, hey, there was no righteous people in there. So God went ahead and destroyed land. But see, you're standing in the gap. You're interceding for people. And if you yourself are not living 100% for God, you'll start compromising and you will not intercede for people the way you ought. So you have to be living for God 100%. Then when you live for God 100%, then God is going to answer your prayer. God gave me a prophetic word personally last night. And he said, daughter, do you ever look over your shoulder? I thought, where's he going with this? He said, if you look over your shoulder, you would see the angelic host right there behind you, answering every prayer that you've been praying. They immediately grab hold of it and they go forth to accomplish that prayer, to see that it comes to pass. Now see, the devil doesn't, well, yeah, he has his demons standing right there and they're waiting for you to say and do something dumb. Then he takes that thing and runs with it. But isn't it powerful that God, he has his angelic host. He said, every prayer you've ever prayed, he said, an angel has grabbed that thing and the angels bring that thing to pass. And you know, we sit around, we think nothing's happening because God said, I'm working behind the scenes. How many times has he told you that? And so what happened is that angel took that, grabbed that prayer and he's working to bring it to pass. And then God said to me, I'm hearing him say, but you have my angelic host overloaded right now. Amen. The spirit went over me and I heard God say that, but that's okay because that they're supposed to be there at my beck and call, right? So, you know, so think about this, guys. Every time you pray, there's angels standing right there beside you. Look over your shoulder. There's angels standing right there beside you, grabbing hold of that prayer, and they're running with it to bring it to pass. See, our prayer, sometimes we think our prayers don't go anywhere, don't we? Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I feel like I didn't even go past my nose. Didn't have to because the angel grabbed it, right? So I'm really encouraging you all today to really live for God 100%. And you watch and see the miracles that God's going to use through you being righteous in other people's lives. Amen. I have somebody in my family, they should be under the jail or dead or in, you know, 10 feet under. But because I see things are going really bad and I go for God, all right, God, you know, and I take them to the courtroom again. And then God starts changing things, turning things around. But if I wasn't there interceding for them, they would be in hell by now. So you see, guys, you know, quit being so selfish and self-centered. It's not all about you. Well, it is sort of about you because you're the vessel that yielded yourself over to God 100%. Then God has took over. And now it's all about those souls that you're praying for that you're going to bring into it. Presence of the Father. And bringing souls into the presence of the Father is so much better than anything else you could possibly get. Anything else you could possibly get. Because it's all about souls. This isn't about your new house. This isn't about your new car. It isn't about a new wife or husband. It's all about souls. See, the body of Christ, we have this all wrong. We think it's about all these material things. We think that's what the walk with God's all about, and it isn't. And so this morning I want to tell you that let's get out of the material things and let's get into the things that God's really concerned about. And that's all those guys out there that are lost and dying. Amen. How many of you can say that at one time you know now you know that you were lost and dying, but then you heard the truth and the truth set you free. And now Satan's pulling at you every which way he can, but you're not going to let go. You're going to hang on to God. You're going to hang on to your salvation, and the devil's a liar. Amen. forget many saints of God to step into something so great and so wonderful. And I know you've heard me say it over and over again, but I'll say it again and again and again. We are getting ready to step into something so wonderful. And you know, you have to understand it. When God speaks word over your life and you think it's not coming to pass, it really is coming to pass. When I first started, God said, you'll go into two buildings and you go into the building I want you in. All right. So I left my home and I came into this building, which is not in God's plans. So last night he told me, okay, by the first year, you're going to move into a building. And this is going to overflow. Then a new building is going to overflow. Then you're going to go into another building and it's going to overflow. Then you're going to go into the big dome. So you see, I still have to go to the other two buildings before I get to the big building. So I caused it. I held it up because I came here. Please man. Are you understanding this? So please don't ever please man. You stay with the plans of God. Do what God's calling you to do. I don't care how good man's plans seem. They're not that good, believe me. Follow God's plan at every step of your walk with him. And watch what he will do with you. I got off the sidetrack earlier, didn't I? Okay, Ephesians 5:6 says, let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Father, well, says to the Lord. So right there it tells us we were one time darkness, right? But now we're light. So we don't go back into darkness. We stay in the light. And our light should become brighter and brighter and brighter. And how many of you can say, with all honesty, it's really hard to stay in the light right now. That the enemy is pulling as hard as he can pull to pull you back into the darkness. But we can't give into that pull. We have to stay in the light. All right? Some of us have made some bad choices. But we repented and we're going on, right? And we're not going to think about the bad choices we made or the bad boo-boos we did. We're just going to go ahead and say, the Father forgave you when you repented, and we're just going to go on. That's just all there is to it. Satan can do anything he wants to do, but we're not giving in to him any longer. Are you determined to do that? You're not giving in to anything, temptation or anything Satan places in front of you any longer. You're finished with him. Because the things that God has us going into are so much greater than Satan could ever offer you. Come on, guys. All right, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. And that's Ephesians 5:11-12. The argument is that we as Christians should never be afraid of repercussions from entertaining worldly elements in our culture. After all, perfect love casts out all fear, right? By that I mean, all right, remember we read where pastors were drinking wine and getting drunk, you know? And we read where pastors were having three people sex. They compromised, they went into the darkness, and they got caught up in that stuff. We are not supposed to do that. Then we found out the pastors were into perversion and pornography. And God is exposing all that stuff. Saints of God, we cannot dabble in sin, not for one second. That is darkness. It'll take us back into the darkness that we came out of. All right, I said, after all, perfect love casts out all fear. 1 John 4:18 said, there is no fear in love. See that? But perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Do you fear? Then you're not perfected in love, right? Isn't that what the Word of God says? You have to get perfected in your love walk. Perfect love doesn't automatically manifest simply because we are saved and that we have a connection with Jesus. Not even close. Perfect love produces evidences, and one of those evidences is a repulsion of anything that is unholy. How many of you get, when somebody might walk in front of you and all of a sudden you get instantly angry, and the reason why you get instantly angry is because there's something unholy in them, and it triggers a holiness in you, and your holiness in you gets upset. with that unholiness. And I'm talking about Christian people. I'm not talking about the world. I never get upset when I get in front of the world. It's that way. But if a Christian comes in front of me and they have unholiness in them, I get an instant anger inside. But then, see, I found out that's gone. And he's upset because his people should not be walking in any unholiness whatsoever. None. All right. You might say, why do you always speak about that? What happened in Noah's day? He preached for 120 years about righteousness and holiness, and they all laughed him to scorn. But who got into the ark? And all those people that laughed him to scorn and would not repent and live holy lives, they drowned in that flood. Are you listening here, guys? Because God told me when I was first born again, you're living in the days of Noah. See, and we're out there trying to get the people to live right, and they aren't living right. And they're going to end up not going into the rapture, not going to heaven. And they can't blame me. If you're living a holy life and you're living it and you're preaching it, they can't blame it on you. Do you understand that? All right, Psalm 101:1 says, I will sing of steadfast love and justice to you, O Lord. See that? I will make music. I will ponder the way that is blameless. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. See what the psalmist said? He's not going to bring any of that junk into his house. And he's not even going to tolerate it. So are you allowing junk in your house? Don't tolerate the junk. Amen. Perfect and steadfast love, as declared in the above passage, results in worship of God and living a blameless life. We won't put anything worthless or anything wicked, as the King James Version puts it, before our eyes. We will have a hatred of anything unholy and will do all we can to ensure it doesn't cling to us. Sadly, instead of hating the wickedness in our culture, many are working hard to validate their innocent participation as proof of their freedom, and the result is wickedness is clinging to them as they bring dishonor to the God they say they love. Deception is running rampant. You see that, saints? You know, you can live a normal life here in this earth among the darkness and be a child of God and have a light that shines in that darkness. When I worked, people knew you don't come to my desk, you don't tell dirty jokes. You just don't. There were certain things you didn't do around me, and they still respected me. I still was a part of the family, and they just made sure they never did anything like that in front of me. Now, you know, I wasn't shunned, but they loved me for who I was. So don't worry about being shunned, and anyhow, if they shun you, what different? They shun Jesus too. Don't worry about being shunned. Just let your light shine. All right? What about the blood? Many presume the mere act of repeating a prayer and inviting Jesus into their life makes them bulletproof. The idea is that a revelation of the power of the blood will result in a confidence that we are untouchable by the enemy. Isn't that a laugh? Therefore we do not have any concern regarding our behaviors. In other words, we can do whatever we want. We just know the devil can't touch us, and that's not true. But we are entertained by or the growing darkness in the land. All right, what I said was, therefore we do not have any concern regarding our behaviors, what we are entertained by, or the growing darkness in the land. In other words, we say, well, that the blood covers us, and we think we can participate without fear. I am sorry, guys, that simply is a gross misunderstanding of liberty, love, and fear. Now, I can tell you right here, the enemy is going to touch you. If you're walking in holiness, he's going to touch you and touch you and touch you. And the only thing he can't do is kill you. Amen. Others have accused preachers of righteousness of inciting fear in people when they talk about the consequences of participating in worldly entertainment, such as Halloween, immoral movies, and television and music. The truth is that ungodly fear of the enemy is an expected result if we are aligning ourselves with him. Ungodly fear of the enemy is an expected result if we are aligning ourselves with Him. You know, whenever we was overseas for 5 years, and the only place you could work was in the officers' club. And so I had a job working in the officers' club as a waitress. And you know, the GIs that came over there, they knew that I didn't hanky-panky. I never said a word. I didn't do like the other waitresses did. I didn't hang around them. I just did my job. And you know, I would come home some nights with $500 tips. They honored me. So even though I worked there in the officers' club, and they had it fixed up like it was a family thing, but you know, at night then the officers came in there and they drank and everything. But those guys honored me because they knew that I was living a righteous life, and I never said a word. There was just something about me they knew. And the girls got so mad because I would get so many tips and they didn't. You know, and they would rub all over the guys, you know, and do all kind of things, and they didn't get the tips, but I did. So I'm even saying that even in that kind of environment, God kept me, and God really honored me, and I was really blessed. So even though if you're in a predicament like that or in a situation like that, you can still let your light shine. Amen. I even have some of the men come and sit and talk to me and want counseled because they were having troubles at home. So I would counsel the men, you know. But God just did these kind of things, set people in front of me to do that. They never wanted to go to bed with me. They just wanted to know what they could do to make their marriages right. See, so there was something about me that made people know, hey, she's different than these others. So everywhere you go, you should be different than other people. All right? James, because you don't know why God has you in those places. I had a couple of the GIs say that because of me talking to them, because of me being who I was, they went home and they straightened their marriages out, and they're just really super happy because they kept flying back and forth. And they were super happy. So see, you just never know. You just never know what your assignment is. So don't participate in darkness. You be a light. You bring them up to your level, right? James 4:6 says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. See that? The warning is to resist the devil, not to ignore him. Believe me, I tried the ignoring thing. It doesn't work. You have to resist him. If we resist, we can walk free from fear. However, if we ignore the enemy or dismiss worldly attractions as not dangerous, we open ourselves up to a very real nightmare. We cannot embrace evil and avoid fear. It's just not possible. If we are entertaining demons and the evil that demanded the slaughter of Jesus, we can be sure our love has not been made perfect. Further, we can have confidence that access to our lives has been granted to every evil being. When you start compromising, you've opened a door for the devil to come in. The blood of Jesus absolutely does not grant Christians immunity from attack or from the influences of evil that we open our lives to. The blood of Jesus grants us authority to pierce the darkness as we live consecrated, blameless lives of perfect love. See that? You know, I was talking to my husband and a couple others about, you know, what's that? I forgot that man's name now, that when it was in working for the devil's Ramirez. Yeah. Ramirez, you know, he was the devil's right-hand man for years, from little on up. But when he received Jesus Christ, he did not go back and dabble in any type of sin. Yes, the enemy came and attacked him over and over and over again, but he did not give in to those attacks. He stayed free. So therefore, my conclusion to all this is, if Ramirez, who was Satan's right-hand man, could receive Jesus Christ and stay free from sin, so can everybody else in the world. So when you say, I just can't get rid of this thing, yes, you can. See, Ramirez, if you read his story, he really had to fight constantly. The enemy did all kind of evil things to him to try to make him come back. But he didn't do it. And he stayed close to God. And he's out there testifying about the goodness of God. So what I'm saying is we do not have to give in to the wiles. How many of you in here sitting today, you know, as a matter of fact, that Satan comes at you every day with a temptation. Now, it's up to you to fight that temptation. You have to say no. And you know, he comes with you with a temptation that you've been into. And he really works hard trying to get you to go back to that. But you have to say no, 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 and then kick him. You know, and just keep saying, no, I'm not going back there again. I'm done with that. You have to fight him and say, I'm not going there anymore. You can't keep giving in to him because you're going to find out one day you can't go back then no more either. You can't go back to God anymore because you keep giving in. How many of you are watching people that you love who you know are really caught up in a mess? And they fight for a little bit, but then they give in, don't they? And you sit there and you watch them. In fact, you're crying inside them and you just don't know what you're doing. You're taking yourself deeper into the devil's den. If only you would fight. Others are praying for you. If only you would fight. We can pray for you. We can cover you, but you have to do the fighting yourself. Everybody can pray for me all they want to pray for me, and I hope you do, but I have to fight the devil myself. Are you listening here? Because God said to me, daughter, you're healed. Don't allow the enemy to make you believe you're not healed. So I have to continue to say, devil, I'm healed. Devil, I'm healed. I have to do that. I have to do that. You can't do that. I mean, you can say it all you want to, but I have to do the fighting. It's my vessel that the enemy is attacking, right? And you know, and only you know, only I know how hard he attacks me when I'm all alone. And I have to fight. I can't say, oh God, you do the fighting for me. No, he sent his son Jesus. And the blood covers. He gives us all power and authority. Now we have to start using it. The more you use that power and authority, the more you fight, you watch how strong your anointing gets. Your anointing keeps getting stronger and stronger and stronger. You have God's anointing. And then next thing you know, you find yourself a strong tower that the devil can't run into anymore. Amen. That's the way it works, guys. I know I live it. It's a constant battle, but I'm going to make heaven my home. I've been to hell. When I'm alive, I don't want to go there when I'm dead. Amen. Proverbs 11:19, I think is where I'm at. It says, whoever is steadfast in righteousness will live. See that? But he who pursues evil will die. Those of crooked heart are an abomination to the Lord, but those of blameless ways are his delight. See, that's a scripture. Our connections, our alliances, or permissions can make us extremely vulnerable. They result in open doors for the enemy to access our lives. In other words, the people you're around make you vulnerable, you know, if they're not of God. And if you start participating in the things they participate in, there you open doors in your own life. And next thing you know, the devil has you too. And see, what that's not supposed to happen. We're supposed to not participate in the works of evil. And we're supposed to keep all doors closed on us. And by us doing that, maybe, just maybe, we can get somebody else set free. People have to have an example. Are you listening? They have to see it before their. I know we have Jesus, but you know they have to see with their own eyes that, hey, this person can stay free, therefore I can too. Are you understanding this? If they were bound and they're set free, then I can be, and they could stay free, then I can too. Then they start fighting. But if they see the children in the house of God, who are supposed to have all the power and authority, if they see them dabbling in sin constantly, they're going to think they have no hope either. We're supposed to be a light in a dark, dark world. A very important question comes from the Bible. Amos 3:2-3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? See that? Can two walk together except they be agreed? The moment we roll our eyes at those who are making calls for holiness is the moment we become aligned with evil. The moment we roll our eyes at those who are making calls for holiness is the moment we become aligned with evil. We need to understand that our agreement with the enemy and his plans of destruction result in a hand-in-hand walk with him. We become partners. We further his cause while we shout freedom from the rooftops and mock those who are exposing the darkness. Now, you know, I've told you that, and I'm going to tell you again today because it ties in with this. The pastors in this area, when I first started, said if you'd only quit teaching so hard, you would have the biggest church around here, because people really do love you, but they can't take that hard preaching. They can't take holiness preaching. And you'll never grow as long as you preach holiness preaching. Well, I never compromised. And when I grow, it's because God's going to grow me. Man is not. Are you understanding this? I wasn't out here to please man. I'm out here to please God. And this is my message. If we are the second John the Baptist, what did the first John the Baptist preach? Holiness. So what are we supposed to be doing? And if we're living in the days of Noah, then the days of Noah were evil. Everybody was evil, and Noah was trying to get them right, and he couldn't. So he went up. He went to be at the Father, you know, in the ark. But the other people didn't. What's our job then? If we're living in the days of Noah, and we are the second John the Baptist, you know, making the way for the second coming of Jesus, our job is to preach holiness. To not only preach it, we have to live holiness. Amen. All right, I said, we further his cause while we shout freedom from the rooftops and mock those who are exposing the darkness. No, the blood of Jesus doesn't grant us immunity. But if we walk in authority, the power of the blood is beyond our ability to imagine. The blood of Jesus doesn't grant us immunity, but if we walk in authority, in other words, in holiness, the power of the blood is beyond our ability to imagine. Sin is eradicated in a moment. Disease is healed, demons are cast out, and people are transformed for eternity. If you walk in holiness and you use the blood of Jesus, that's the things that's going to happen. House cleaning and deliverance. We have been involved in some incredible deliverances. We're talking about the church and house cleanings over my 32 years of ministry. I absolutely love it when I can participate in ministering freedom and deliverance to people who are bound up by the enemy. Some of you see, and I'm a little bit distraught because, you know, God's taking that away from me right now because he has something else for me to do. But when we were doing it, I loved doing deliverances. It was wonderful to see those people being set free. Some amazing Christian people have been unable to break free until they went through deliverance or until they invited people to pray through their homes. One person actually removed 12 large bags, trash bags full of items from their home after such a ministry session. The items were acting as curses upon them simply because they brought them into their homes. Others eliminated movies and other media from their DVR or devices that were resulting in oppression and demonic activity. When I used to go into homes and pray over homes, I could tell, you know, I go like our kid, there was one whom I went into and right, you know, the cabinets were like this and, you know, there's a corner there. And when I walked by that cabinet, because I always anoint as I went, I stopped there and I cried and I cried and I cried. I said, what happened right here in this spot? She said, every time my husband was fighting with me, he would corner me here and threaten me to kill me with his kitchen knife. Then one other house I went into, you know, the whole house was, it was clean. But when I went into the laundry room to anoint it, all kind of evil was in there. And I said to them, I said, what do you do in this laundry room? They said, this is where we go to smoke. Not allowed to smoke in Russ's house, but this is our smoking room. And I said, well, you need to stop because there's all kind of evil spirits in this room. And I, you know, went through and prayed over it. And all kind of things like that happen. You could go, you, when you pray through a house, you could know where the evil is because you stop right there and you feel the evil. Amen. And that's wonderful to go through a house like that and you know, cleanse somebody's house so they can live in peace and harmony. All right. This is a story I read. Over 20 years ago, I sat down to watch a very popular movie at the time with Silence of the Lambs. Common spiritual sense should have made it clear that I shouldn't watch such a movie. Nevertheless, I did, and in the middle of it, the Holy Spirit spoke very directly to me, John, you have to turn this off. Some time went by, and my new wife and I were vacationing in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. One night in a hotel, I was exhausted and decided to go to bed early. As I was drifting to sleep, I noticed my wife decided to watch Silence of the Lambs. I saw that it was on network television, so it was the sanctified version. I wasn't too concerned, and I fell asleep quite quickly. I suddenly started dreaming, if you can call it that. It was real, and it was true. It was pure evil. I couldn't breathe as a demonic atmosphere overwhelmed me. In the dream, I was in the same bed in the same hotel room as I was in reality. I looked over and saw my wife next to me. She was watching Silence of the Lambs. I then started levitating above the bed and was maneuvered above my wife. Somehow I had a very large knife in my right hand. As I was convulsing due to the inability to breathe, I took the knife and violently advanced against my wife with the intent to murder her. Then I woke up. My wife was extremely disturbed as she was shaking me awake. She told me I was convulsing and aggressive. Nothing like that had ever happened to me, and it was disturbing. As I came to, Silence of the Lambs was still on the television. I told her to turn off immediately. The room was filled with the thickness of demonic activity. Now awake, I could still barely breathe. The evil we somewhat unwittingly invited into the room had taken up residence. Now remember, my wife and I were blood-bought, spirit-filled Christians. We were not immune to the attack of the enemy that we invited into our lives by watching that video. We opened the door and gave Satan authority to move in. After turning off the television, we didn't rely on immunity and ignore the maraud of demons in the room. That immunity wasn't there. You know, the blood of Jesus wasn't there. What we did, however, was move in our authority. We repented for our sin and commanded every demon to leave in the name of Jesus. Instantly, they obeyed and left. The room was clean again, and I could breathe. Amen. See how that happened? And then he went on to say, why am I sharing this story? I want to point out how vulnerable we are to the enemy if we participate in unrighteousness. The evils of Halloween, most media, and other forms of entertainment are saturated with demonic intent, and all it takes is an open door. Our participation is that open door. You can't innocently, harmlessly go trick-or-treating, dress up the kids, and eat candy. You can't determine that certain types of movies don't offend you if they contain forbidden content. We must not put anything wicked before our eyes. We must not adopt the evil in our culture. See that? Deuteronomy 18:9 says, when you come into the land that the Lord your God has given you, you shall not learn to follow the abominable practices of those nations. You shall not learn what they do. Depression, fear, anger, sickness, and even death can come if we don't aggressively resist the devil. See that? If we don't aggressively resist the devil and his schemes while proclaiming to follow Jesus. It's that serious. 1 Corinthians 11:28. Let a person examine himself, then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. That's why we don't do communion in here unless God says so. It's because the people are eating and drinking unworthily. They're in sin, and it's going to kill, you know, the communion will kill them. It's critical that we examine ourselves, live blamelessly, and resist the devil. If we are careless in the name of freedom, you know, oh, I have grace, so I can do what I want to do. That's not true. We can only expect open doors to allow those who are bent on destroying us free access. On the contrary, if we sound the alarm, reject wickedness, and call people to righteousness, if we live in love and are zealous servants of the Most High God, we can walk in extreme authority and annihilate the kingdom of darkness. Now, I've noticed one thing. Anybody that's out there preaching a sloppy grace, they have great big churches, great big congregations, and they're just living, have $2,000-$3,000 suits on, and they have the big cars and the driveways, but you know what? They're all going to go to hell. You cannot entertain, you cannot be a child of God and entertain evil. You just cannot. We cannot as Christians dabble in darkness without fear, because when you dabble in darkness, it's going to take you into the darkness and it's going to destroy you. And God is telling me this morning, He wants to clean up your hearts. He wants to sanctify your minds. And He wants to make you new in this area so that you can serve Him with purity of heart, and that you will no longer entertain sin in any way. Because when He touches you this morning, you're going to hate sin and not want to be around it. So the altar's open for you to come up and allow God to just touch you and cleanse you of all immorality in your mind, and set you totally and completely free to serve Him with a pure heart.